And we are live. I'm live here with Nellie Johnson. This is Gloria, and this is Convos with Gloria in the Heart of the City San Diego Facebook page. And, you know, I thought, you know, we're stuck at home, we're quarantined, and I reached out to my friend Nellie, who is a relationship mentor, and various other things that she does. I think she's in the middle of writing a book as well. But Nellie, will you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes. Thank you, first of all, Gloria, for inviting me. You know that I absolutely love you, and I think you're amazing. And yes, I'm Nellie Johnson, and I am a family and marriage therapist. And so I'm excited to be here. We're going to be talking about dating. I have 5 tips about what it would be like, what it's like now dating in 2020.
Yeah, sounds awesome. I'm just so looking forward to it. Some of the things that I thought that we were going over and I thought was real important as well is, the red flags, and some of that is, you know, I wanted to tackle the dating part of things as well, since I'm single and I just started a singles group and I want to do events eventually, you know, when we're off the quarantine and all that.
Oh my gosh, let me know. I'll be there. it's interesting because during this coronavirus, all the dating websites, many people have resubscribed, signed up. I mean, people, that has been booming. The other businesses have closed, and then the dating sites have actually increased.
Wow, I see. I didn't even know that. That is crazy.
Yes, because I think that we all want that social, you know, that interaction, connection, and, you know, and I think they want to have some dates lined up.
Yeah, I know I do.
Just kidding. Yeah, you know, and
I mean, I'm a Christian and I want good, you know, good morals and things.
So they're going to have, you know, a few dates lined up for when we're out of time out, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, when it comes to one of the things that I really want to emphasize about dating, and this is my tip number one, is that you have to really know what you want and what you don't want. Gloria, if you're looking for, and this is for men or women, you have to know that people date for many different reasons. Some people date because they're bored and they're lonely. And you would only be like a hobby to them. It's not really, they're not looking for a committed relationship or a connection. So you have to know what you want. And I believe in just being open about that really early on. If you are on a dating website, they'll say something like looking for just fun.
Yeah.
That's someone that is, you know, they just, and that's fine. If you are looking for just fun, Gloria, then, you know, date and it's fun. Just go out, but you're not looking for that committed relationship, monogamy that leads to, you know, maybe a marriage.
Right.
So you have to really know what you want.
Yeah.
Out of your dating experience, what do you want? And a lot of people, just when I've talked to, just, and I'm coaching, I do relationship coaching, and I've asked them, like, what do you want? Well, I don't know what I want. Well, you have to answer that. That's a question that only he can answer. He has to really answer that for himself before he really gets out there.
Yeah, that would be something that you should probably know before you start going out there and dating.
Right. So, and part of that is once you see what you don't want, what do? You say no thank you and move on. So if, let's say, and I use you as an example, because you said you were single. So if you meet someone and he's, you know, goal-oriented, you know, successful, man of God, but he says, listen, I just got out of a divorce a year ago. I'm not looking for nothing serious. This would just be for fun. If you know that that's not what you're seeking right now, you would just, as much as he's a great man, we're not taking that from anyone,
yep.
But you would have to say, no thanks, and move on.
Yep. Sounds awesome. Sounds really good. I think, you know, I agree with that. You know, people are in it for all different reasons, and that is up to them. But you got to know what the reason is for yourself and flow with that. You know, I think if you're a Christian and you're looking, like you said, you know, for a husband or something, I don't think I'm particularly looking for a husband at this point, but you know, a friend, and it might lead to that. But there are others that, you know, they will date. I've heard of older folks, and you know, they're dating for friendship. They're just going out, and it's just a date, just to hang out.
And just and that companionship piece.
Yeah.
So does that make it less valuable? Absolutely not.
Right.
So that's what I just want for you and this gentleman. And everyone, all the listeners, just to know and be clear as far as what you want, because what happens is, and I'm just going to be, I hope we're all adults here, you know, dating includes sex. Now you just wanted, quote unquote, a companionship, but now, you know, you individuals, you know, cross that line, and then they engage in sexual activity, and now all of a sudden it takes your feelings kind of to that next level. You know what I mean?
Yes. You get kind of attached to someone, don't you, when that happens?
Absolutely. So and I always say this to anyone, this is my staple rule, is do not engage in any type of sexual activity. And, you know, I'm a woman of God, but I'm not going to be there. If you're making this decision, obviously that's between you and God, if you're going to wait till you get married. But if you choose to do so, to have sex before you get married, can you just make sure that you're in a established relationship? Because more often than not, what I see is women have that "what are we" conversation after you have had sex. That was a conversation that should have happened prior to sex.
Yes. I agree. Say that again, girlfriend.
Yeah. So, totally. You know, the sex should come once you're in an established monogamous relationship.
Yes. Totally.
And like I said, and then I've had some people challenge me and say, well, you're not supposed to have sex till you get married. Well, yes, that's the you know, the top, but I'm not going to be there. It, whether they do that or not, I'm not God. I'm not going to judge them.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what the practicality of it is. So the practicality of it, I have to be reasonable and to know that not all my clients are Christians. And
yes.
I say it's very important to understand that you have to have an established relationship where you feel safe. And if you do decide to have sex, at least there's an established relationship already that you know that it's just between you and that other person.
Yes, right. Because we're actually, you know, I don't think there's any children here on my Facebook. It's all adults. And I think that this information is important. Excuse me. And I agree with you, you know, that when you say that, you know, you're not the babysitter. You're not going to be babysitting and, you know, hanging over someone and, you know, going with them on their date and making sure they're not having sex. That's
right,
their responsibility, right? They have to decide, you know, what they will choose to do. And that's between them and God.
And that's what I explain to my fellow Christian men and women that have tried to be like, well, Nellie, you should tell them to wait till they get married. And I said, you know, I'm not the babysitter and I'm not God.
Yeah.
So it's personal responsibility at that point. But what I am going to give you is I'm going to equip you with tools that you need, because, you know, this is my area of expertise.
Exactly. It's so good. I totally agree. You know, equip people with the tools and let them decide what they're going to do with their life, how they're going to use those tools, you know, and
absolutely.
And, you know,
so
and,
that takes us, you know, to number two, and that's, you had already started talking about that, are those red flags.
Yeah.
And those are also called deal breakers. And you had mentioned something so powerful, because a lot of people have deal breakers and they overlook those.
Ooh,
and
that's
get
good.
Deeper in the relationship. And then you're like, wait, you're not Christian?
Mm-hmm.
6 months later, and they've, you know, sexual intimacy has happened.
Mm-hmm.
You realize, but you knew back then, month one, that mm-hmm. was not a believer, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are probably, you know, the things that we should get out of the way before we go any further, right? Another friend of mine calls it the non-negotiables. And, you know, I really liked when my friend was teaching this, is some self-development teaching, and that stuck with me. I was like, that is so true. You got to have your foundation set, you know, your non-negotiables. What you choose to live by, and then we could take it further.
So, what are some general non-negotiables? And I always ask people this, and they're like, "What is that?" You know, some like standards are people that have really anger management and issues, and there's a lot of people that do, and it's not just men. I know that society wants us to believe that, but it's not. There's women too, and once you get into a relationship where there's pushing, shoving, you know, that kind of stuff is, I say that, it doesn't matter what else is going good.
Yeah.
That's a no-go.
Yeah, I totally agree with that one. Yeah, that's you walk away fast from that.
And a lot of we interpret, individuals interpret different behaviors as, you know, oh, he just loves me more because they're jealous. And those are not, you're interpreting information incorrectly. So we have to really learn to interpret those things as what they are. And that's controlling behavior, you know. And at first, we think it might be kind of cute, Gloria, like, oh, he doesn't want me to wear this so that, because he's, you know, but that's controlling behavior. So when you talk about red flags, one of the things that I tell people, if you ever feel like you're walking on eggshells, that is a clear indication that, you know, something is wrong in this relationship. Like, you can't really express yourself. You don't want to make them upset. If you say that, you're going to make them mad, and you can't, that's, if you're feeling that way and you're mm-hmm. listening right now, just know that that's something that you have to pay attention to now, early on in the relationship.
Yeah, that's really good advice right there. I like that. Yeah, I wouldn't want anyone to be, you know, put in a position where they think that, you know, dysfunction is love.
And it happens a lot of that. When I do coaching, I said, you have to know that unconsciously we will attract what we were exposed to. So if you were exposed to domestic violence, if you were exposed to a unhealthy relationship in chaos, you will unconsciously attract that. So consciously you're not attracting. You're like, you know, I had a client, she's like, I seem to attract what I don't want.
Yeah.
Well, because there's still some healing that needs to take place. There's still some wounds that need to get addressed.
Yeah, that's really
good. So that's what's going on. So you have to really sift through your past. And what I do for people is connect the dots. I tell people this all the time. Well, how does, you know, people ask, well, how does relationship coaching or therapy, how does that work? It's the exposure to new information and the fact that we connect dots. Sometimes our past really really dictates the relationships that we fall into.
Yeah, I can totally see that, you know, just as a leading a church for the amount of years that I've led a church, and, you know, working with people from all over the place, all over the world, pretty much. You know, everyone is different and culture is different as well. And, you know, we like you said, we interpret things completely different. And it has to do with our upbringing, the way that we were raised and, you know, what we think is normal. But if it's hurting you and it's, you know, and it's causing you to not, you know, be able to live at your fullest in the way that, for me, in the way that God has designed you to be, then it's probably best that you don't go there. You get away from that. And especially if you're not married, get out of that.
Yeah. And that's exactly what is going on. Sometimes in relationships, we fall into this, it doesn't matter if his name is Joe, James, there's individuals that seem to attract the same type of personality.
Yeah.
So if you are one of those individuals that attract the same toxic, different face, different name, ethnicity, oh, that doesn't matter. It's the same toxic type of personality, I would tell you, and I'm very honest, I said, don't date. Take some time off to just do some internal work.
Yeah. I think that is excellent advice. Because I think, you know, like you were saying, I think, you know, we attract, you know, what we are. And if we are living that life where we know who we are and what we want, then we attract that. I see that even I'm single, you know, and I'm not to say too much about myself, but, you know, I can see how, you know, I can see the types of people who I'm attracting and I like that. But I seen the type of people that I used to attract and I'm like, whoa, that is scary.
And that's growth. That's growth because you can see by that. And a lot of people say, well, they also, and this segues to just being part of number two, is just setting boundaries. You know, there's this new movement of individuals that are very narcissistic. And, you know, those are the most selfish individuals. And I'm always joking around, how do you stop a narcissist is you say no, you draw some boundaries.
Yeah.
And like let's say, you know, you're dating someone, you went on a date, right? And he says, hey, beautiful, send me a picture. And you stop, smile, and take a picture, and you send it to him, and he says, no, not that kind.
Ooh.
You know, what is your next response to that, right? And I'm telling you, there's women that would say they don't want to, but they'll still do it because they're being asked to.
Yeah.
They don't know how to really set a boundary.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, oh, no, no, thank you. I'm uncomfortable. I don't send pictures like that. Thank you. You know.
Yes, definitely. That is good advice. And that goes for, you know, every single person, male or female.
Every, yeah.
You know, we're not targeting, we're both female. We're not targeting men, but we, you know, we are, you know, speaking to male and female, and that goes both ways, you know, because, you know, that it just, this is the culture that we live in today that, you know, people are just like that.
Right. You know, and that's what I mean. But boundaries is a whole, you know, we can do a whole topic on boundaries because that's really an area where I think as a society we have to improve. You know, we feel like we have to be nice. You know, as children, how many times do we see our D, our D, our aunts and our uncles
oh, go give your tia a hug, and you don't want to, and then we're forced to. Mm-hmm. You know, those are the type of, I know that you might think like, well, Nelly, that's small. But no, those are very big things that say to a child, your no doesn't matter.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree with that. I totally agree with that. Yeah, that's something that I was protective with my children about, you know, especially the girls with the ability to empower them to say no. You know, probably maybe overboard with that one. But,
right. I never did. I never made my son, go hug, grab. No, he doesn't want to right now. Just give him a few minutes. He'll warm up on his own.
Yeah, totally agree with that. I love this section with the red flags.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I said the other part of all that is, and people might not consider this a red flag, and that's why I think it gets overlooked, Gloria, because there's that humor that's kind of, what is the word? It's like a really rude joke to you. He's being mean, but, I'm just kidding. You know, or just very like, are you going to eat another piece of bread? Do you really think you need another piece of bread and you're at a restaurant? You know, those type of little comments like that.
Oh, yeah.
And women do them too, to men. So the way that you address, you have to address them as soon as they happen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't like jokes like that. If you say that, you're going to stop and nip it in the bud, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say something like, because I'm really nice and I'm really easygoing, but there's that other side of me that clicks in and it's gangster. And I would stop and put everything down and I would look directly at them and I would say, excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
And I would just wait and wait and wait.
Right.
And if they didn't like it, like that would be the last, just once, that would be it.
and so that's why it's important to do that, because believe it or not, if that person knows that you're not going to allow that, then they might lose interest and then just never call you.
Exactly.
And so when people say, well, I want them to call me. No, if you act like that and they never call you,
yeah,
you know, it's best that way.
Yeah, you know, there are people that are like that. And I remember being somewhat like that too, you know, but this part was fun, you know, and but there's that one thing that they did, which is a character, you know, which is a mean character flaw on their part. And you kind of wash that away because the other part was fun. But no, if people will tell you who they are by the way that they treat you and things that they say.
And so that's one thing that I always encourage individuals, pay attention to those type of things really early on.
Yeah.
And then if you are dating and you meet through a dating website and I say that the dating website is like, that's where we're going to go. It's going to be more online because just how advanced we have become, and people are not going out as much as they did before. And who wants to really meet anyone at the club when it's dark and, you know? So
yeah.
What I say, if you are on a dating website, a tip would be to make sure you FaceTime them, or you just have to say, hey, why don't we have a FaceTime date? You're going to get a lot of information and you're going to learn a lot from this person just by that FaceTime conversation.
You know, I heard someone talk about that recently, to be honest. And that it, you know, right now while we're on quarantine and things, that would be a good time to get to know someone through FaceTime. Because then you could see their expressions, or the, you know, the body language and all of that great stuff. And, you know, instead of just doing the online dating thing, which, you know, which Christians are kind of spooked out about somewhat, you know. Can you speak into that a little bit, what you think about the online dating thing?
I will be very honest. I'm all for online dating. What you do need is a good spirit of discernment. And you, that means that you need a different set of skill sets. So if a man is, you have to pay attention to what they're saying, and are their actions, are they calling you as much? What are they really saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't be so, that's what I'm saying. I believe it. I think you can meet good people. That was number four, is do not believe that there's no good women out there, or there's no good men.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get around someone, your best friend or a girlfriend, and they'll start saying, no, there's no good women or no good men. And so then they just taint your experience. That's not true at all. There is good women and men out there. You have to go with, have to have the right mindset first. And then when you get out there and you are on Match or whatever, you have to know that you have to pay attention to what they're saying. You know, hey, I want to get to know you. Can we set up a date over the phone? Can we talk? Those are the type of things. That's what I'm saying. You need a different skill set.
Yeah.
And discernment.
Yeah, I agree. Sounds excellent. And then what else do we got here? We got
I had number four was just to be your authentic self. I find that individuals kind of dim themselves down or tend to be who they think the other person wants, because you really want this person to like you. You really want to be in a relationship. There's a great need inside of you. And so that will make us sometimes change or be something. Let's say, I'm going to give you an example. If I don't like dogs at all, not, I love dogs, but let's just say I did it. I absolutely hate pets. And then I meet this guy, and he has 5 dogs and 4 cats. And I'm like, oh, wow, I love animals. You see how I there's individuals that do this.
Right.
They change who they are for this other person. Well, I could learn to love animals. Maybe. But that's a little something that might cause problems in the future.
Right. So, yeah, that's
be
good.
Be your authentic self. If you're on the first date, don't order a salad. Eat what you normally eat. Be you. You know what I mean? If he doesn't like you or she doesn't like who you are on the very first date and they never call you, they're lost, not yours.
Good word. I like the analogy of the 5 dogs and 3 cats.
I'm telling you, this has happened before. So, you know, if you're vegan, right, and you're dating a guy and he's a carnivore, you're like, yeah, I'm going to eat meat too. Those are things that are significant to our lifestyles.
Yeah.
And so they can cause problems in the future. So be you know.
Yeah.
I'm not saying little things like, oh, he leaves the toilet seat down. That kind of stuff can be worked out. We're talking about really behavior, life, habits, you know.
Yeah.
And number 5 was just that one, that you have to have the right mindset when you're going to date. You can't say, well, I hate dating, but then you're on a dating website. And, you know, you can't have that negative energy because it comes off. And your body responds to all those negative thoughts in your head. And it's not productive. They don't serve you.
That is really good.
You know, have a great mindset and know that what you're seeking is seeking you.
Yeah. Yep. That is a really good. Thank you, Nelly Johnson. We want to have you back again. Will you come back again to speak to us?
Oh, yes. You know, I will do. Gloria, you can ask me for anything except my PIN. My PIN and my ATM card. Because anything else, you know, I'm going to say yes.
You got some money in there.
Yeah, I got some. So, you know, just let me
Awesome. Thank you so much, Nellie Johnson. Guys, I'm going to be sharing this out.